in the sales office, had you any idea that the way these the paper was transported out of the place?
We had dealings. We were lucky enough in the production planning office that we had dealings with the whole mill. It wasn't just...
I see.
Yeah, it wasn't just planning the thing and then forget about it, but it had to be programmed through. The paper would come off the paper machine in a huge big roll. There might be 4 tons of paper in it.
Yeah.
And that had to be then, first of all, put on what we call a reeler, and it was made down into smaller rolls and cut into particular widths.
Yes, yes.
And then it could go out, sometimes go out in rolls, and sometimes it had to go on to a cutter house where it was cut down into sheets. Then it had to be sorted and packed and all the rest and go out a sheet in reams of paper.
And so the
Well, we sold tonnages. We wouldn't be selling single reams or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we'd be selling it on to merchants or printers or whatever.
And were any of these companies wholesaling the paper? I mean, were you getting it directly to source, or were you going through a middleman?
Oh, mostly you wouldn't be selling directly to small users, you know.
Yeah,
you know, there was always an intervening company.
Big company. Was there any of it being exported?
We exported a fair bit of paper at different times, mainly to Britain, of course.
Yeah.
One stage we sent paper to South Africa, and where else? But you know, it was mainly to Britain.
Yes, well, there were times when the factory would close down.
Well, only for a fortnight's holidays in August, the first fortnight in August, yeah. And at Christmas and things like that. It was not always a 7 day a week job, but a lot of the time it was a 6 day a week. 24 hours a day, 3 shifts.
Right, so those 2 weeks were very welcome indeed.
Oh, yeah, every August then you'd see new types of machinery and that going in, you know, the place being kept up to date as far as possible.
Yeah.
You know, even as regard to had computer control on some of the paper machines, it wasn't complete computer control, you know, there were still people... Mm-hmm. working on the day, but it was given readouts of different things that you wouldn't get normally, you know.
What was the atmosphere? Was it a good working atmosphere?
For years it was. Unfortunately, in the last while before it closed down, things got a bit ropey, all right.
Yeah.
But most of the time it was. Well, we were particularly lucky in our office. I think we 6 or 7 of us working in it. And we used to have great fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
The work was always done. Yeah. You know, if something was wrong at 5:30 in the evening, going home time, we'd stay on until that was fixed and we got the thing organised.
But the camaraderie between
it was great, yeah. We used to go out playing pitch and putt every year together and things like this. And we're still... You know, any of them that are around, we'd be still friendly. Well, not particularly close friends, but, you know, be friendly enough with them.
Were there clubs or was it
sports? There is a social club. It's still existing. That was started from the paper mill, in the paper mill. And it was, I was treasurer of that social club for 2 years when it started first.
Yeah.
And they have a bar and all in it now.
Yeah.
But there was we had a pitch and putt course, which is still there.
Where is it?
Up on the Nanger Road, up near the Clondalkin Sports and Leisure Centre.
Okay, and that was the property of the mills?
It was owned, the mill gave it to this particular, because they weren't using it. One field and a bit,
yeah.
So we got it fixed up as a pitch and putt course,
yeah.
18 hole pitch and putt. It's a grand little pitch and putt course, and they're still going strong, even after all this time.
And so the I suppose it was the strikes. The strikes caused awful trouble there.
Ah, yeah. There were a lot of strikes. In 1966, there was a big strike. I think it lasted 16 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
And that wasn't too good.
For the years that you were there, did you notice the in the 60s and 70s that there was a little bit of unrest? You know, people wanted more. They wanted better conditions. They wanted more money. And
that was always the way. And of course, management.
But there were already good wages. You were getting
We were, I suppose. But you know, like everybody else, you always want a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was conditions. Sometimes it was conditions, you know.
Was this driven by the unions, do you think?
No, I'd say a lot of it came from the floor, you know. Although, thank God, there weren't all that many strikes. You know, we had, you know, I remember a maintenance strike one time. But that was nationwide, you know, it wasn't just in the paper mill.
Yeah.
But there was a few other a couple of other strikes that should have never happened, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I say, I don't think they should have happened, but they did, so.
And your own life then, you built a house out here in
We got married in 1964.
Yes.
So, my wife came from Lucan. I was from Palmerstown, and I worked here. I didn't have a car at the time, just a bicycle.
But you weren't far from the factory.
No, it was a 5 minutes walk up the road. So it was very suitable for us to get a house here.
And was there, just to talk about Clondalkin, it was a time when there was migration from the city out here.
Oh, yeah, there was, yeah.
At that time?
It started to spread. Clondalkin started to spread out around that time. Maybe from the late 50s onwards, you know, there were new housing estates being built on the periphery of Clondalkin, and even into the centre of it, more or less, where there had been farmland virtually in the centre of Clondalkin. There were new schools built and things like that. So,
did you feel that Clondalkin was a place that existed because of the mills, that it was the mills really
No, it was a big employer in the area, but gradually, when you got other people coming to live here, they were working in the city and things like that.
I'm going back now to the 60s and 70s.
But even at that time, there were people working back in the city, you know. Not everybody in Clondalkin could have worked in Clondalkin, in the paper mills, you know. There was, I think it was telling you there were something like 700, I think, was around the most I remember in it, including a building squad. We were doing a lot of expansion in the mill because we actually built a pulp mill.
Yeah. But the majority of those people would have lived here.
Most
they?
Of them would have lived in Clondalkin, but there were people came from a big area around, you know. You had people coming from Selbridge, Lucan, down as far as Clain, Nace, and then Talla, all around the areas would have come to work in the mill.
But the mills had other properties and other businesses in Saggart, I think there was a mill.
There was a mill in Saggart, but that when I started working in Clondalkin paper mills, there were four paper mills working on the River Camac. Mm. It's a small river. You had Saggart Paper Mills, Swiftbrook, that was their name in Saggart. Then you had Clondalkin, then you had Killeen Paper Mills down, and then Drimna Paper Mills down in Lansdowne Valley. Now, Clondalkin, the Clondalkin Paper Mills Group, they also had up here a sack factory, a subsidiary company to the mill, which made paper sacks.
For cement?
For cement, yes. And flour and all things like that.
And flour, yes.
All those kind
that
of...
That heavy brown...
Heavy, yeah. But we made the paper and went straight through the door and in another door. They didn't... No big transport or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they amalgamated then with another company which made paper sacks in the city of Dublin called Bishop's. And it became CB. Paper sacks originally, and then CB Packaging it was called. That's closed down, and the whole building is knocked down now. All gone.
So this was early days for kind of before Smurfit's ever came on the scene. It was about packaging.
Smurfit's had a place out in Clonskee. Yeah. Now, we never regarded that as a paper mill. It was where they made what we call board, heavy cardboard and things like that. Yeah. They didn't make any type of fine papers, like writing paper or anything like that.
Yeah.
But Swiftbrew Paper Mill, they made a lot of writing papers. Printing papers. They were a lot smaller, but some of their product was beautiful.
But take Drimina, for example. When that closed down, all the workforce came over here.
Yeah, they did. There was a third. When I started in Clondalkin, there were two paper machines working. Then there was a third, when they took over Drimina, there was a third paper machine put in, and that was crewed mainly by people who had come up from, who had previously worked in Drimna paper mills.
Yeah. And again, this caused more the town to grow a little bit bigger because they were settling.
Well, a lot of the people who, you know, it wasn't so far away from Drimna to Clondalkin, so yeah. I think most of them just stayed where they were, you know, stayed living. Not a lot of them would have come to live in Clondalkin who were from Drimna paper mills.
Would a lot of the shops have come in here because of the traffic? You know, the
I'm sure they did. The village, as we still call it, the village, was expanding.
Yeah,
and so
in front of your eyes, you witnessed this. You saw,
you did.
Estates being built, and more houses, more people coming.
So I'm sure that's why the looks. Quinsworth, I think, was the original people up there. They're now Tesco. Dunn Stores, of course, is up here. It's in where the paper mill was.
Yeah. But
smaller shops were... Mm. We always had smaller shops there, you know.
Mm. And is it a different place to the place you remember when you were growing up and when you were a youngly married man out here?
It is different, though. Although, where we're living down here, we've an awful lot of the people who moved in here are still living here, you know, who moved in 50 years ago. I have three families just immediately adjacent to us here who are original owners of these houses. They were all newly built houses and they moved in. The Garda, an army officer, and a man, he worked in Dublin Bus, like Sartus.
See, yes.
Yeah.